this morning in the name of Jesus Christ to the house of the Lord. And my brother and I had a privilege that we have the opportunity to serve you this day. Thank you, Sherilyn, for the meditation and music and setting this environment that we might come to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and this sacrament service. And I wanted to express to you a thread that has been woven through the service from the early morning. And I would not do it justice as the other men have shared even in prayer service. But as it was shared that there was a brother in the church that offered these words, that is, one of his sheep had been bitten in the face by a rattlesnake, and the face had swelled up, and yet there was a particular property inside the blood of the lamb that allowed that venom to not have its full effect. Although it had pain and heartache, if you will, it survived. And it is that thread that I wish to share with you through this service, is that the blood of the Lamb is able to heal that sin that so easily besets us, and that venom that can take the life of a soul, but the blood of the Lamb provides that antidote, if you will, in which we might prevail of the sins of this world. I would like to offer to you these words from the book of Moroni, to be familiar to many, chapter 10, verse 29, for a call to worship. Yea, come unto Christ, and be perfected in Him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace you are made perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not His power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy and without spot. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us that opportunity, that through His grace, that we might become holy and without spot. And today we come to remember that love, to remember that blood that was shed for you and I. May God bless us as we endeavor to remember Him this day in this service.
Father who art in heaven, we count it a great joy and privilege to gather here on this Sabbath day and to see and witness the beauty of thy creation as the sun warms this earth. And Father, it is our desire as we come here this day to remember thy Son and that light and that sacrifice, that each one here might be warmed even by thy good Spirit. And Father, I pray for my brother Ed, my brother Mike, and their individual responsibilities this day. I pray that thy Holy Spirit might be with Mike as he shares that light of this Jesus Christ, even that bread of life. That each one here might be edified and strengthened. And remember that covenant that they have made with thee. And as we leave here this day, that we might have a greater desire to serve thee and thy Son, even Jesus Christ. And so it is, Father, as we worship here this morning, may we do so in spirit and truth. And this is our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus Christ, even that Lamb. Amen.
In the writings of John, we find much written there about our relationship with our Heavenly Father and as well as with Christ. We are referred to as sons of God there. Surely this is a very high state if we were to achieve that, for sure. So we must go on purifying our lives one way or another to get there. One way that we can do so is to exhibit brotherly love spoken of by Christ. In John, the first John, I should say, third chapter, starting with verse 17, we find these words recorded. But whoso hath the world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let not love in word only, neither in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. And thereby we know that we are of the truth and assure our hearts before him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come this day and recognize the beauty of your creation. Surely you love your creation and all who have been placed here among this earth. We know there are many who are suffering and have need this day. We find ourselves blessed in so many ways and able to share sometimes in those needs of others. We ask at this time that you would bless those who would share a portion of that blessing that you have given them. They'd be willing to impart with a willing heart. And as we do so, may we do this recognizing that you have blessed us abundantly and there are no those who are in greater need. So may these offerings be used wisely. Maybe used in a way that you would be pleased and accepting of them. We thank you for this opportunity now to share. And I pray these blessings and favors in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. These are the words of Jesus, found in the 11th chapter of John. After receiving the message that his good friend Lazarus was deathly sick, Lazarus, along with his sisters Martha and Mary, were some of Jesus' closest followers and friends. The scriptures tell us that Jesus loved them, and the people recognized that. Have you ever wondered if you lived in the same time and place as Jesus, if you would be recognized as one of his friends? We would like to think that we would, but even being acquainted with him brought some risk. The truth that Jesus spoke didn't always align with the prevailing narrative of the day. His message was seen as a threat to those in power, and his behavior was even considered blasphemous and dangerous. In today's language, his friends might have even been labeled a conspiracy theorist and perceived as on the fringe of society. I can almost hear them being mocked by their critics. Really? This Jesus of Nazareth, a carpenter's son, is the Messiah? Really? You really believe that? Lazarus was being cared for by his sisters in Martha's home, and they sent for Jesus, believing that if he would come, Lazarus could be healed. They had seen with their own eyes Jesus healing many strangers. And so they did not believe that they were expecting or asking too much for Jesus to come and to heal one of his best friends. Again, in verse 4, chapter 11, the book of John. And when Jesus heard he was sick, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." After Jesus heard this news, he tarried where he was for 2 days. After that, he told his disciples that he wanted to go back to Judea, where Jesus had been threatened to be stoned. His disciples questioned the wisdom of this decision. Nevertheless, Jesus knew the work that had to be done. It's not written in this 11th chapter of John how long Jesus was in Judea, or more specifically, the city of Jerusalem in Judea. But at some point, probably several days, after he decided to go there, he told his disciples this: "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." It doesn't say that he received this news from a messenger. He just declared it. When his disciples heard him say that he sleepeth, they thought, "Oh, that's good news. He's getting good rest." Jesus had to clarify for them and plainly said, "Lazarus is dead." I can only imagine what they were thinking. We thought you said this sickness was not unto death. You can see how they might have been confused. And when Jesus came to Bethany, I've skipped a scripture here. Verse 15, "And I am glad for your sakes," this is Jesus, "that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." You see, Jesus' purposes are higher than our own. We see things on a certain level. He sees things much higher. Verse 17, "And when Jesus came to Bethany, to Martha's house, Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, which is just about 2 miles. So not a far distance. That must have been frustrating for Mary and Martha, that after they had called for Jesus, he delayed coming for several days. And at least towards the end of that waiting period, he was not even very far away. Martha's house, where Lazarus had died, was in the city of Bethany, and many Jews had gathered to pay their respects and to support and comfort Mary and Martha. Jesus was still outside the city limits when Martha heard that he was on his way. And she apparently left without telling Mary, and she went out to meet him. And this is what she said in verse 21. Listen to this. "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." You can hear in that statement both frustration, but also a faith. "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." See, there's the faith. "Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." You see God's perspective there. "Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And when she had said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." See, he wanted to talk to Mary too. "As soon as Mary heard that Jesus was come, she arose quickly and came unto him. As she went out of town to meet Jesus, the supporters at the house assumed that she was going to the grave to grieve there. Then Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him," listen to this, "Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's exactly what Martha told him, word for word. Do you suppose these two sisters had been sharing their frustrations with one another? When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where had you laid him?" They say unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. I don't believe that he wept out of grief, because he knew that Jesus lives. I'm sorry, he knew that Lazarus lives. Perhaps he wept because of the unbelief of the people, or because of what he knew was yet to be fulfilled through himself. You see, I believe that Lazarus was a type and shadow of Jesus. Or maybe there was some other reason or reasons, but he wept, and the people assumed it was because of grief. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." They recognized that deep love. And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" You see, there's the unbelief. Jesus therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." She was thinking, this might not be such a great idea. Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Would you believe? God's purposes are much higher than our own. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, "Loose him and let him go." Isn't that amazing? This miracle. And yet, in our own simple ways, it is that sin that destroys us and binds us. But it is Jesus that sets us free. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. These people witnessed the great miracle, yet for whatever reason did not believe. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man doeth many miracles." What an awful thing. They were threatened. "If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." That's man being fearful of what men can do and not believing in what God can do. Not all those in leadership positions were threatened. Caiaphas was the high priest among the chief priests, and prophesied of Jesus, saying that one man should die for the people and the whole nation, that the whole nation perish not. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Isn't that beautiful? His purposes are much higher than our own. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. This mighty miracle that was performed. Do you ever feel like Martha and Mary? Frustrated, knowing that God can work mighty miracles, but not completely aware of his timing and full purpose. Jesus also calls us friends, and his purpose in our lives is perfect. We have no reason to doubt, no matter what our circumstances. If we die in Christ, we are never truly dead. Tracy received a Christmas gift that I really liked. It was a clay pot with dirt in it. And it still sits by our sink. And it came with some instructions. I haven't read them, but I imagine they went something like this. Add water. And so we've been adding water. Five little plants sprung up. How exciting that was. So we kept adding water. And they kept growing. And now they're like 4 inches tall. And we have little pea plants that we're trying to keep alive so we can set them out in our garden. I love how beautiful God takes a dormant seed and brings new life. But before that seed can grow, it has to be buried in the dark, cold dirt. Isn't that a miracle? He's asking us to be humbled, to come unto him and let him work his mighty miracles. And we have witnessed many miracles. Each one of us is a walking miracle. If we have been created, we've been created with the purpose of God. And if we humble ourselves, he will fulfill that purpose in us. And this is because of the love, that immense love that Jesus has for you and me. We come this morning to remember what our Savior Jesus did for us and to glorify him. He, out of his immense love for each of us, gave himself and paid the ransom for our sins. He, being perfect, without sin, paid the price for the sins of all those that believe on him and take upon them his name. In John chapter 12, verse 23 and 28, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Amen.
Saints, these emblems have been prepared for you. And as we come in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, shall we all together kneel as the prayer is offered over the bread.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Thank you.
Have all that desired to partake of the bread received their portion? Then, saints, this wine has been prepared for you. As we offer the prayer over this wine, I'd ask that you would kneel facing these emblems.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Thank you.
Has anyone missed their portion of wine that desired to partake? I had a good sister reach out to me yesterday, and she shared with me that they wouldn't be able to be here today. They're in quarantine, a word that we're quite used to. And you know, I have a great love for that sister, and I think she for me as well. And I have a great love for you, my brothers and sisters. You know, I was raised, there were three of us. I was the oldest, and I have two younger sisters. And I like to say I know how to be a good brother, but as I reflect on those early years, I'm not sure that my sisters would share that same opinion. And yet, over all these years, I know that they love me, and I love them. And I ponder upon this particular service, how it is that this is the opportunity for us, brothers and sisters, to set aside those things that might irritate us one with another, and to set down our criticisms and whatever ought we might have with one another, and seek recompense or forgiveness, that we might be worthy to partake. And I know it's hard sometimes, but that's what we're called upon to do as saints. And if we want to enter into that kingdom, that's a requirement. You know, God the Father loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. But not only love us, to love the world, even those that are bound in sin. And He calls them to repentance because He doesn't want to lose one soul. And that sister that I spoke of shared with me a verse that I had shared with her many years ago. And I in turn want to share that with you today. It's in the 61st section of the Doctrine and Covenants, in the 6th verse, beginning at C. And now, verily I say unto you, and what I say unto one, I say unto all, be of good cheer, little children, for I am in your midst, and I have not forsaken you. And inasmuch as you have humbled yourselves before me, the blessings of the kingdom are yours. Gird up your loins and be watchful and be sober, looking forth for the coming of the Son of Man, for He cometh in an hour that you think not. Pray always that you enter not into temptation, that you may abide the day of His coming, whether in life or in death, even so. Amen. And I can say this morning, saints, as He Himself spoke here through the prophet Joseph, that what He says unto one, He says unto all. And this scripture this morning that you've heard in your hearing is for each of us. May we be prepared, for He cometh in an hour that you think not. May God bless us as we depart from this place and return to our homes. May His Spirit be with us and continue with us and encourage us to be valiant in our testimony, is my prayer. O God, the eternal heavenly Father, through the name of thine only begotten Son do we lift our voice unto thee. And through the name of thine only begotten Son have we partaken of this sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We come unto thee rejoicing for the opportunity to do so. And we would pray, Father, that you would bless each and every soul that was here today, that as they return to their homes, that your Spirit might accompany them, that it would burn strongly with them, that they might be a witness for thee. Yea, Lord, that others may look upon them and see your countenance in them. Father, bless them. And I do pronounce this benediction now upon this hour and upon this day. May we go forth, Father, in the strength of the power of your Spirit that is resident with each of us. Thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. And we ask these things in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.